We'll just open with a word of prayer. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and for salvation through his sacrifice at Calvary. And as we're here tonight to share the good news, just ask for help to be clear, to be to present it in a way that is understandable to maybe someone that is looking for salvation tonight, to know that for sure they will have a home in heaven, to know for sure that their sins are forgiven, that Jesus Christ paid the debt at Calvary. So just commit this meeting to you. I ask again for help for Matt and myself as we present the gospel. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, and in his name we pray, amen. So tonight I was wondering what to speak on, and like usual, I leave it till the very end. And I thought, you know, I think it's a good thing to remind yourself of your testimony. And no, this isn't a cop-out. I feel like the testimony thing is when you don't have a message. But I thought, I want to use this tonight. So, I'm going to tell you how, from here, the Broadway, which speaks of sinners, were born on the Broadway, it says, how I went from there to going through the door, figuratively, and I'm on the narrow way heading to heaven. That's what I'm going to do tonight. So, I was born in a Christian home. If you're wondering what that was, many people here were born in a Christian home. My parents, I grew up going to the Gospel Hall. This is the Gospel Hall, not this one, but in St. Thomas, Ontario. I grew up going to the Gospel Hall there. My parents, they were born in a Christian home. So, lots of knowledge about Jesus Christ and the scriptures. Would every Sunday was in Sunday school, and I could tell you, couldn't tell you now, but I could tell you a lot of details about all the stories in the Bible, whether it be Noah's Ark, Adam and Eve, David and Goliath, who's another one? A lot. See, I can't remember them all. There we go, Daniel. How do you forget that? But I had a knowledge of the Bible and the scriptures, but my knowledge of knowing things didn't save me. I knew as a kid growing up, I was a sinner. I knew that because I received a lot of spankings. Many times I was disciplined for little things, whether it be lying or stealing or not obeying mom. Ask mom if I could do something. No, you can't. Go ask dad. What did you ask mom? Yeah, what'd she say? No. Here's a spanking. You didn't listen to mom. Not all the time. My parents weren't abusive, but I knew what was right, and a lot of times I did what was wrong, and that's just in our human nature. Nobody grows up and is perfect, is doing the right thing. We could try. That's just not how we are. Human nature, we say we from Adam and Eve, we've fallen. So Adam and Eve, they were created perfect. But she disobeyed God. She listened to Satan, ate of that fruit that they were not supposed to eat of, shared that with Adam, and that brought sin into the world, and thus we are the way we are because of them. Can't really blame them, but you kind of can go back to that. That's why you see so much sadness, so much pain, so much hatred and violence in the world is because of sin. It's not that we choose to be that way, that's just the way we are. So how do you remedy that? It's a good question. I'll get to that later on. I don't want to go through my whole message here. So I was born and raised in a Christian home, Sunday school, Bible verses, learned all that. I'd go to a lot of gospel meetings. Every Sunday night, we'd have a meeting like this, like we're here tonight. A couple preachers telling you how to be saved. And we had Courtney and Frank over and David and Angela. And it was brought up, why is it such a hard thing to talk about salvation as a Christian's kid? You know, that was always something for me, is if somebody ever asked, are you saved? And it was an instant shame. A wall of, I don't know, emotion would just be like, oh, I got to tell them I'm not saved. And I don't understand that, just on a tangent. If you're not saved here tonight, don't feel ashamed. Sin is a very bad thing because it's taking you to hell. But you shouldn't feel that you're in a place of awayness, if that's a word. That you can't talk to somebody about that. That you can't come forward and say, hey, you know what? I want to talk about salvation. I want to talk about my sin. What is that? I want to talk more about Jesus because, hey, I'd like to know. If you're that tonight, if you're thinking, oh, I don't want to bring this up, please do. Talking about salvation is one of the best things. It's a little nerve-wracking being up here in front of you. But if tonight you're wondering about your soul, having a conversation about it is the best thing you could do. Whether you get saved or not, you shouldn't feel ashamed of that. And I felt that a lot growing up. Somebody would ask me if I'm saved. No, I'm not. And that, in a way, I think made me more scared of going to the gospel. I remember one time, what was his name? Will. Anyway, two preachers. One old little Irish guy. Boy, he scared me. Mom asked me after gospel tonight, she said, do you want to talk to the preacher? I said, no, I don't. I was nervous. I didn't want to acknowledge my sin, I guess, as it was. But more so, it scared me to talk to them. And I remember another night, I'd go out the back and get to the van and sit there and wait for Mom and Dad. I would have been about 7 or something at the time. But I knew I needed to be saved, even at that young age. I knew that I was a sinner. There was heaven and hell. And I was going to hell. But I didn't want to acknowledge that. And a little later on, I'd always walk to school. School was about a week. It wasn't a week's walk away. It was a block and a half away. I'd walk to school. Mom worked at the police station. Dad worked shift work. And I knew when they should be home. And I came home one night. One afternoon. Nobody was home. My sister, don't know where she was. She had, I think, just gotten saved. I come home, nobody was home. We had a pretty big backyard for living in town, and I went out back and called for Mom and Dad, came back inside, went down to the cellar, which I hated. We didn't know if Mom was in the cellar. Not there, no one was home. I thought for sure the Lord had come. I thought I had missed my opportunity to be saved. I thought, this is it. As a 9-year-old kid, I now need to figure out how to pay for a home. Things rolling in my mind that's just, I don't know what I'm going to do now. My next resort was to go through the phone book, the Gospel Hall phone numbers, started calling people. Nobody pick up. Finally, Jerry Patton, one of the people, she picked up, hello, and I am crying. I'm outside. 9-year-old crying on the step. Soon as she picked up and said hello, I was like, hi, and tried to play it off like I wasn't nervous or I didn't think anything happened. I didn't want her to think that I was thinking about my soul. And I still don't have an answer for that, why I would feel that way. And again, I would just urge you tonight, if you're thinking about your soul, please send a text. Call someone or just have a talk with them. Anybody here that's saved that knows you, if somebody's brought you tonight that's saved, they would love to know that you got saved. They would love to talk to you. So anyway, that happened and moved on. And that was obviously God speaking to me, but it wasn't enough to make me get serious that I need to be dealt. I need to have my sins forgiven. I need to deal with this matter. A couple years goes by, we move up north. Went from St. Thomas, Ontario to a little town called Berks Falls. It's 5 hours north of there. So if you got Toronto, 2-ish hours, depending on how you're driving. 2 hours north of there and started going to another hall. And of course, it's like one of the first things people ask, oh, is your kid saved? No. So people knew I wasn't saved and people would talk to me and that's fine. And Al Cook, when I was 14, he come and had some gospel meetings there. They weren't necessarily gospel meetings. It was a week of meetings on Revelation. So at the back of your Bible, it's the last book of the Bible, Revelation, and it talks about times that are coming for this world after the Lord comes. And he was going through that. And I wish I still had my imagination from when I was that young. But my imagination that night was working on overdrive. The way he was explaining things and talking about things, I could just picture it happening in my mind. And I did not want to go through that. And I knew I was going to go through that because I was not saved. And I could barely get out of the hall that night to shake his hand and get to the car. By the time I got to the car, I was in a pile of tears. I cried. We had a 25-minute drive home. I cried all the way home, begging Mom to show me how to get saved. And she'd read me scriptures. I got home in my bed crying, talking to Mom. She tried to bring me tracts. Well, she did bring me tracts, and I read them. She gave me some scripture to read, verses. Called Dad. Dad was working night shift and called him on break and talked to him for a little bit. I was up till 1 a.m. Finally, it was just, I got to go to bed. This is not registering in my mind. And moving on with life after that, you still go to gospel meetings. I'd go help a guy tap trees in our assembly. He had a small sugar bush, and just me and him, he'd ask me every now and then, so you ever think about being saved? Yeah, kind of have a little word. And you appreciate it, but it was just like, whatever. And Bernie Forshue, I don't know if you know him, he's a missionary in Panama. He was having meetings, and me and him went fishing, and he kind of talked about it. It was just, yeah, I know I need to be saved, but like, thanks for talking, but for some reason, it's just not super urgent with me. And then when I was 16, one gospel man was like, I need to get this settled. I want to be saved. So I waited at the back. And didn't talk. I'm generally a pretty talkative person, if you couldn't tell. And I waited at the back and didn't hardly talk to anybody, hoping somebody would see me and want to talk. Someone did. And we had a basement in our hall there in Chapman Valley. And we went down. And a fellow named Lloyd come down with me. And we're going over a couple verses, kind of explaining things. What do you think about this? And I couldn't tell you what we read. Yeah, I know that. Yeah, I believe that. Like, I get that. I know it's in the Bible, so it must be true. But it wasn't really registering with me. And then another one of the elders, he come down, talked with him. Eventually, I had to say after about an hour, I said, you know what? I got to be honest. All I'm doing is counting the tiles while you talk. I'm not even paying attention. And then had to come upstairs, and of course, quite a few people stayed around to pray, and obviously they care. But it's again, an oddly shameful thing to come up and not be saved and just have to go home. And I didn't, at that moment, I didn't necessarily say, you know what, God, I'm done with this. I'm done with you. I didn't say that, but it was more so of a, in my mind, I said, God, I wanted to be saved when I was 14. I wanted to be saved when I was now. And I didn't get it either of those times. This is on you. If I'm going to ever get salvation, I'm just kind of, here you go. Because apparently I can't do it. And I didn't go and live a rebellious life like drugs and alcohol. I mean, you're in high school, you have friends. But I wasn't a partier. I wasn't anything like that. But it's just a moment in my life that I kind of succumbed to that desire of, yo, I got to get this done right now. It's an odd thing. And it's interesting how God works in your life. Because when I was 14, I believe I wanted to be saved very badly and God didn't save me. When I was 16, I wanted to be saved. Again, I didn't get salvation. And I just wonder if that's you tonight. Maybe you've tried and you've kind of given up. God can still save you. You can't give up on that. And maybe it sounds like I did, but I don't think I did. It was just, you know what? You're going to save me if I'm going to get saved. So life went on. That I was 16 about that. And when I was 17... I wanted a motorcycle. So what did I find? Well, didn't I find a 1999 Kawasaki Ninja 900? And in my, I'm going to say stupidity, I bought one that was all tricked out for doing like stunts. It wasn't fast at all. I had a great big 52-tooth sprocket on it. It'd do like 100 mile an hour. The thing should do like 300K. But It was such a pile of junk, but I just wanted a bike. And then I had to get Dad to insure it. Because insurance, for me as a 17-year-old kid in Ontario, it was going to cost me like $10,000 a year for insurance for this bike. Not happening. So I had to go through Dad. And I'd beg Dad. And you know me, most of you know me, if I want something like done, I'm going to do it now. I'd pester Dad. Finally, me and him were out in the driveway. I said, Dad, like, this is sitting here and I can't do it. I need you, like, kind of getting annoyed. And he broke down. And he just come and hugged me. He said, Ian, I don't want you to die without salvation. Because if you get on that, you're going to die. And he's crying and hugging me. And I thought, this is kind of awkward, but you're right. And that was a little working in my mind. Like, my dad, now having a son, I understand this. But then was like, my father has way more knowledge and care for my soul than I do. Like, that's serious. Anyway, I never got the bike insured and I lost money on it. Lesson learned. Year goes on. And this is about February. I really like the woods. You guys call them woods here. I call it the bush. My neighbor had 176 acres of farm and woods, and it led down to a river. And in February, that river would freeze, and you could walk up it. It's called the Magneto One River, big zigzag. You could walk over to his bush, go through the fields, down, walk up the river, and come home. I really like doing that kind of loop. It was like 10 o'clock at night. I think it was Bible study. And for some reason, I didn't go. Maybe the Lord had been working, or the Lord was working in my mind. I was thinking about salvation. You kind of forget the details. This is a while ago. But I thought, you know what? I need to go for a walk. And I was thinking about my soul, so I don't know why. I do some weird things sometimes. I wrote a note and I said, gone to kill, Ian. That's what I left on the table for Mom and Dad to find when I got home. And I brought my gun because there's coyotes and whatever. Just thought, and it's 10 o'clock at night, completely illegal, but whatever. Beautiful night, February, like minus 30, snow on the ground, full moon. You could see everything. And I walk down the road. You kind of come down like a cliff hill through the woods, and then it comes out into, he's got two big fields there, maybe 100 acres worth of fields, and there's a trailer on a hill. You could see down to both of them. Just gorgeous. Beautiful night. And I sat down on that trailer and thinking about my soul. And it's like going through what I had learned growing up. Jesus died for me. He was the Son of God. He lived a perfect life, and he went to Calvary. He was crucified there. And through that death on the cross, through his burial, resurrection, that is how he paid for sin. That is what satisfied God. So if you just believe it, you're saved. Like, okay, well, if I'm told that, I believe it. Okay, I must be saved. Must be saved. Okay, maybe I need to sing a song now. No, that's dumb. You don't need to do that. So I got up and walked towards the river, and I'm walking up the river thinking, and thought, well, no, that's what God says, so yeah, I should sing. So I started singing a song to myself. You're just trying to make yourself feel something. I thought, this is whatever. Went home. Mom and Dad were there, and just as I'm walking up the hill, I hear boom, boom, boom. If you're a hunter, you shoot three times if someone's lost so they can kind of hear where you are. Dad didn't have a clue where I was, and he come home, and that's all he read was gone to kill. So he was like, what's going on? Come home, talk to Mom and Dad, fine. Never told them that I was even thinking about my soul. Never went out. I think that next week, we had our youth group, which was Thursday night, pretty small little thing, but Terry, he'd be in his mid-40s then. He was kind of the guy that led it. And me and him just were having a chat after. And it wasn't, he never asked me about my soul. We were just kind of chatting. Just talking. And he was talking about believe. Just the word believe. And I don't know why. I know why now. It was the Holy Spirit working in my mind. But that little word believe kept ringing through my soul, ringing through my ear. And I was like, that's interesting. Went home and never thought much of it. Laid down for bed and I couldn't fall. Like, just kept ringing in my ear. And I thought, really? Like, is it that simple? I said, Lord, if it's that simple, God, if it's that simple, show me. And I grabbed my Bible that was sitting, I never really had it on my nightstand, but then I did, was sitting there and I flipped it open, just didn't even look. And John chapter 3, verse 36, the second or third word in that verse is believeth. John 3 and 36 says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. That's the first stanza or snippet of that verse. I didn't even read the rest. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And I thought, is it? Is that really like all salvation is? It's just believing it? And I read it again in the verse. And then I thought, well, okay, if that's what he's saying, because this is the Bible, this is God's word given to us. If that's what he's saying, and God can't lie, that's all I have to do. And I think, at that moment, for me again, it was like at the time when I was 16 of saying, God, it's in your hands. Except this time, for me, it's like, okay, God, that's what you're asking. Thank you. My soul is in your hands because I'm just going to believe that. I don't understand because there's no monetary transaction. There's no works that I have to do. Essentially, there's no transaction here. Other than me just acknowledging that what you say is true, that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. And I just need to believe that. I got saved that night. I was 17 because I was 18 in a couple months. I was saved that night. I'm still saved now. And that's, poor math, 13 years? No. I don't know, many years. I can't do the math on my head. But tonight, that message is as applicable as it was to me then and is now, is the same message for you. Salvation is so simple that it's hard. And I think that is reverently saying this. That is the annoying thing when it comes to presenting the gospel. Because of the simplicity of it, you get up here for half an hour. I'm over half an hour. You get up here for half an hour and you try to explain the greatest story that's ever been told and the simplicity of salvation and how free it is, and you can't. So tonight, if you're wanting to be saved, if that's even a small desire, which I think you should have a desire to be saved, that's all God's asking you to do. You don't have to be from a Christian home. You don't have to be from Canada. You're a sinner. Everybody's a sinner. That's the requirement for salvation. Acknowledge that you're a sinner. Believe that what Jesus did at the cross was for you, because it was. You're saved. That's God's requirement. That's it. So tonight, as Matt gets up and he would share, just think about that. That it's just that simple.